In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A few weeks ago, at the confirmation service, Bishop Roger talked about how Jesus in the Gospels seems always being interrupted whilst going from one place to another. I think that that might be a fair description of Jesus in Mark's and perhaps Matthew's account. But in Luke's, whose day we celebrate today, I think Jesus is better described, as one commentator wrote, as either on his way to eat, eating, or just leaving the table. Food and parables concerning food are a running theme through both of Luke's books in the New Testament. For instance, one of the key events in the book of Acts is Peter's dream of a feast in the town of Joppa, in which he is told to get up, kill, and eat from a range of forbidden foods. And when he says that he can by no means comply, since he has never eaten anything that is unclean or profane, he is told in no uncertain terms that what God has made clean, you must not call profane. Which leads him to accept the invitation of the Roman centurion Cornelius, in whose house Peter witnesses Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit, a turning point in the life of the church, as the penny finally drops and the first Jewish believers come to realize that Jesus came not just to the people of Israel, but also for Gentiles. The salvation Jesus brought was for everyone. I wonder if Peter was reminded of the commissioning of the 70, or in some versions it has 72, the subject of today's gospel reading. This account of Jesus sending out his followers is given only in Luke. The clues are clearly there if you consider Jesus' instructions carefully. For a start, there is that number, 70, a significant number in the Bible. There were traditionally considered to be 70 nations descended from Noah. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 10. Then there are the 70 descendants of Jacob who go into Egypt. And the number of years of exile in Babylon is again 70. It is a number that in the Bible implies completeness. In Psalm 90, we are told that it is the span of a lifetime, 70 years and 10, and an age at which we might expect to accumulate wisdom and experience, making elders respected sources of guidance. Then, as well as that number, there are the instructions that Jesus gives to the 70. First, he tells them to carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road, which obviously implies the urgency of their task. There is no time to be lost on chatting to people they meet or packing and making careful preparations. This is a reminder that they are to trust God to provide all that they need, and shouldn't just be taken to refer to practical things, food and clothes, but also for the words of the message they are to deliver. They are not to move from house to house, but are told to stay wherever they find a house of peace. You might almost miss what Jesus has to say about the food that they eat. But in the context of the feast at Joppa from Acts, it is most important. Jesus tells them to eat and drink whatever is provided. Remembering that Jesus sent 12 disciples to preach to the 12 tribes of Israel, then 70 to take his message to all the nations. All the nations means all of the Gentile nations, the whole world. So what will be provided to eat will not comply with the strict food regulations of the Mosaic law, but they are told to eat whatever is provided. Hospitality is a theme that runs right through the Old Testament laws, requiring farmers, for instance, to leave grain at the margins of their fields for strangers in their lands to eat. The law commands that food be shared, not just with friends and neighbours, but with anyone in need. We are, I am sure, all familiar with the well-known summary of the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second, like it, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. That second command, you shall love your neighbour as yourself, is a direct quotation from the book of Leviticus. You'll find it at verse 17 in chapter 19. But Jesus goes beyond in expanding it to include everyone. And in Luke's gospel, and this is the only place that you will find it, he illustrates this with the parable of the Good Samaritan. In fact, it's only a few verses on from our reading this morning in chapter 10. But Jesus is actually being less radical than you might think, for the law in Leviticus already covers exactly the same point. A few verses on in chapter 19 of Leviticus, you will find the words, "When an alien resides in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as a citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself." Which gives a completely different perspective to how we should regard those so-called aliens in our land, whom we should love as we love ourselves. I mentioned at the start that in Luke's gospel, Jesus seems always to be either on his way to eat, eating, or just leaving the table. Hospitality, as I said, is a central theme, as we've seen, not just in the gospel, but also in the follow-up book of Acts. On some occasions, Jesus is the recipient of hospitality. A few weeks ago, when I preached on St. Matthew, we had an example of Jesus eating at the house of the tax collector. Again, it's from Luke's gospel. On other occasions, Jesus is the provider. For instance, in the feeding of the 5,000, you'll find that story in all four Gospels, twice in Mark's Gospel. It is a reminder that how we receive hospitality is just as important as how we give it. Remember that instruction to eat and drink whatever they provide. The Jesus we meet in Luke's account is both a gracious host and a gracious guest. When Peter follows his example in the house of Cornelius, the Holy Spirit is enabled to work and the course of history changes. Like Peter, we too need to follow Jesus' example and be both gracious hosts and gracious guests. For in so doing, we may be the means through which the Holy Spirit can work in the world. Amen.